Good morning.
Good morning.
Time has come again for us to study another portion of God's holy writ. And as always, worship him in both spirit and truth. For those of that may not know me, my name is Nathan Elder. I'm the Associate Minister of the North Las Vegas Church of Christ. I've been helping with this congregation for a little while. Definitely enjoy coming out here each and every time I'm able to come. I've not been able to come as much because Brother Leo Gay got me working too much. And he got me all over the place. But always glad that I have an opportunity to come out and speak with you all concerning the things that God would have us to think about. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How's everybody doing?
Good.
All right, y'all a little tight. It's me. It's me. Y'all don't have to be tight like that. We are going to be looking at suffering this morning. Suffering for Christ. Shouldn't you want to suffer for Christ?
Yep.
Now you say yes. Now, raise your hand if you like suffering. All right, I thought I was in the right room. Nobody likes suffering. Why? Pain involved, physical pain, mental pain, spiritual pain. There's pain involved in suffering. But the question becomes for the Christian, for the believer, why not suffer for Christ? Why not? Because of the fact that there is some pain and there's some agony and some things that go along with it. But if we suffer here, what is our reward? Heaven. Heaven is the reward. Heaven is the place that you should be seeking. Heaven is the place that you should want. I think I heard the sister say earlier, it's better, you know, she's above ground. It's a good day. I'm telling you, you should want to be in heaven. And how do you get to heaven? You got to get below ground. You got to get below ground. But see, getting below ground, people fear it. People fear death. But why do you fear death? You fear death because how have you lived? If you've lived a life according to what Christ has wanted, should you fear death? No, you shouldn't fear death. Now, I always want to give you the definition of words that we're going to be using as in the Bible study. The word definition for suffering. It is an experience that is subjugated to something horrible or unpleasant, as in undergoing pain, distress, or hardship. It's not always easy to follow God. But it's something that we have to do and we should want to do. I want to give you some things that you may just need to think about. We know a little bit about suffering, but not as much as some other places. In the U.S., sees doctors, the people in the United States see doctors less often than in other countries. Do y'all believe that? Did y'all even know that? We have more doctors than any country. But we see the doctor here less than any country in the world. Why is that? Because y'all like suffering. Y'all don't believe me. Why don't you go to the doctor? People don't go to the doctor because the doctor gonna tell you what? Bad news.
To me, going to the doctor is
suffering. The doctor's going to tell you bad news. It's almost like going to the mechanic. If I take my truck to the mechanic right now, I think it's running right? The mechanic going to find 16 things wrong with my car. When you go to the doctor, I don't know if at any time I could think I'm absolutely healthy. Go to the doctor tell me I got 4 or 5 things wrong with me. He's going to give me 10 more drugs to help you with that. People don't want to go to the doctor because they don't want to hear bad news. Looking at this, the U.S. is the only country among whom those that have been studied that does not have universal health coverage. Most countries in the world, universal health care is free, but not here. The United States ranks 11th in health care. This is despite the U.S.'s spending on health care. We spend the most money on health care. Americans experience the worst health outcomes than their peers around the country, even though we spend the most money and we have the better health care, supposedly, Americans' life expectancy in the United States in 2024 was 77.1 years. I don't know what the point one means. 77, y'all too tight. Life expectancy in a country like Nigeria with universal health care and all of the technological advances that it has is 53.51 years. United States, a person is counted in being in poverty if they make less than $24.55 a day. That's counted as poverty. Poverty in Nigeria, in Ethiopia, is 10 times lower. The average rate of pay in Ethiopia is $2.04 a day. This is as of 2024. Now, we go around here complaining about minimum wage, right? I think minimum wage now is what, 13? 13 an hour. Their wage is $2.04 a day. That's suffering. That is suffering. Now, as a believer, we should know a little bit about suffering. John chapter 15, verse 18 through 21. John chapter 15, verse 18 through 21. The Bible says this. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world loves its own. Yet because you are not of this world, because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the words that I say to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. They kept my word, and they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Jesus is speaking here, and Jesus is saying that the disciples of this world often hate them because of the good work that they do. So if they hated Jesus, they gonna hate you. If they dislike Jesus for the work that he did, they gonna dislike you, because you're supposed to be doing the work that Jesus did. Jesus cared about those that did not have. Amen. Do you care about those that don't have? Do you invite yourself into the lives of those that are less than you? Do you give to those that don't have as much as you have? And I'm not only talking around Christmas time. I'm talking about every day. There is an obligation that the believer has, because Jesus gave us that obligation. Jesus said the poor will be with you always. Poor people ain't going nowhere. They're not going nowhere. And if you happen to be in a situation where you can help somebody do better, that is your job. That is your obligation as a believer, to pull somebody up out of the mire. Why? Because that is how you show them God. Yeah. If somebody come up to you and say, I'm hungry, and you just say, I'm going to pray for you, did you help them? No, you didn't help them. You didn't even hinder them. You did nothing. Jesus says we are obligated to help those that are in need. Jesus said we have to be expected to be rejected. Let me say it again. As a believer, you have to be expected to be rejected. They're not going to like you because you're trying to follow God. They're not going to want to be your friend. They're going to say you're good at two-shoes. They're going to say you're too good to be around us. They're going to say that you are trying to be better than us. I am. Why? Because that's the only way I can get to heaven. Sinners going where sinners go. Do you want to go where the sinners go? That's right. Why? Because I don't want to be a sinner. A sinner has no hope. He has no guile. He's no dog in the fight. Because a sinner is happy with being right here where he is. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 14. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 14. Christians for centuries have known the hatred of the world. Millions have died in the name of Jesus Christ. Millions. I tell people all the time, the word persecuted in your Bible doesn't mean a lot to people because they don't know what persecution is. But from the time that Paul is in jail the second time up until Constantine becomes emperor in 313 AD, Christians died in all kinds of ways. They were beheaded. They were flayed. They were fried. They were boiled. They were impaled. They were crucified. They were killed in all kinds of ways for 300 years. They were hunted down. That's persecution. That's what it meant to be able to worship God. Every day you stepped out your house, you had to fear that death was looking you right in the face. And here, in our time, we can't show up because we're tired. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 14. The Bible says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you." The Bible is, Peter said, why are you surprised that you're going through something? Why are you all of a sudden shocked that life is hard? Life is hard. Life is tough. Life will knock you down to your knees. Dare you to get up. But my Bible tells me with God, all things are what? Possible. If all things are possible, why do we fear the trial? Peter says you shouldn't even be surprised that it showed up. You know why you're surprised? Because life rolling along good. Life is going along good. And then all of a sudden, you hit a roadblock. Lose your job. Lose some income. Get injured. Hurt on your back. Laying down in the hospital. And now, oh, woe is me. Why has God left me? God ain't left you. God wants to see how strong you are. God hasn't left you. God said, I will what? Never leave you nor forsake you. God don't leave us. We leave him. Verse number 13. But rejoice in the extent that you partake in Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, that you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Peter says when the trial comes, that's when you ought to be the happiest. Now I'm preaching to you, but I got to preach to myself because I done been through some stuff too. And I done been in parts of life where life will slow you up, knock you down, and make you doubt everything. It's not the trial that you should fear. It's not what you're going through that you should fear. Understand that these things are coming. What is the saying? If you're not in a storm, you're about to go through a storm, or you doing what? Coming out of one. Either way, a storm is coming. And you have to deal with those things. How you deal with them is how your faith is in God. If your faith is in God, the trial is just going to be the trial. You're going to go through it. But if you are not in God, if you are not a believer that God can save you, then you, when the trial show up, you're just going to fold. Amen? That's what I was teaching this morning. When the trial showed up for Aaron, Aaron folded. When the trial shows up for you, do you fold or do you stand? My wife said that a strong person got to stand. A strong person have to be, when the wind blow, you can't just fall over. Nathan is not here to sell you a dream. I'm here to tell you there's salvation in God. But that salvation come at a cost. You're going to have to suffer. The Bible says this, that when his glory is revealed, that you may be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. The Bible says, if somebody get on you for serving God, you ought to be glad. You ought to be happy. If somebody say, that's a Christian over there, you ought to say, amen. I'm proud to suffer with Christ. Blessed are you, for the spirit of the glory and the God and of God rests upon you. On their report, he is blasphemed. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he's glorified. See, they want to see you suffer. The devil wants to see you suffer because the devil wants to see if you'll fold. The devil wants to see if you'll give in. And he'll come at you from every way from Sunday. Everything. Every way. How can I keep him out of worship? How can I keep him from getting baptized? How can I keep him from saving himself? Yeah. Keep him at home. Make him watch TV. Watch all, what y'all say, all the balls, football, baseball, basketball, all of this to distract you from what? What is the truth? The truth is that God is our salvation. Football can't save you. TV can't save you. Your job can't save you. How you know this, doctor? When your job, when you get through with your job and you retire, you think they retire your number? They put you up in the... Here is Brother Elder. He the baddest priest. We're going to hang his Bible right here. No. When you leave off that job, they're going to find somebody else to do it. And you just get to go home. So why do you give more reverence to a job that will replace you today than God, who will give you an eternity forever?
Amen.
We ought to rejoice. We ought to rejoice that we are given an opportunity to suffer with God. Our tendency is to embrace the glory and the joy of anything good in life and to avoid the suffering. I'm telling you that you have to embrace the suffering. There's a better joy in heaven. In heaven ain't no more sorrow. Ain't no more crying, ain't no more weeping, ain't no more pain. Why would you want this over that? And then lastly, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 11. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 11. I'm going to read it to you in the easy to read because I want you to understand. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 11. At one time, all these things were important to me. Who's talking here? Paul is speaking in the letter. But because of Christ, I have decided that they were all worth nothing. Not only these things, but now I think that all things are worth nothing compared to the greatness of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. Paul is saying, everything that I have ever had. Paul was part of the Sanhedrin. Paul had money. Paul had wealth. Paul had prestige. And he's saying, all of that he don't have now, because he's writing this letter from imprisonment, he said, even though I'm in jail, I'm better for it because I know God. I know Christ. I'm better than I was when I had money. Because of Christ, I've lost these things, and now I know that they are worthless trash. All I want now is Christ. I want to belong to him. In Christ, I am right with God, but my being right does not come from following the law. It comes from God through faith. God uses my faith in Christ to make me right with him. All I want to know is Christ and the power that raised him from the dead. I want to share in the suffering. Listen to Paul. Paul said, I'm glad I know it. I'm glad I have it. Because I know him, that has made me righteous in the eyesight of God. And I want to share in his suffering. Jesus suffered. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus was hung. He bled. He was pierced in his side. He was beaten to a bloody pulp. He was spat upon. He was kicked. He was made to drag a cross up a rugged hill. He was took him more than 6 hours to die. And Paul said, in all of that, I want to share. Do you want to share in his sufferings? Do you want to be taken for a Christian believer in this world? This world is going to discourage you. This world is going to discourage you. This world is going to beat you up, beat you down, just because you've chosen to follow him. But I say, if you don't follow him, you have a trouble, you have a salvation problem. Why? John chapter 3 and verse number 5. Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So without baptism in your Bible, if you believe the scripture to be true, you cannot make it to where God is without baptism. But with that baptism comes a suffering. If we're going to walk with God, we got to walk with God in every way that God has us to walk. It's not an easy walk. It's not a guided tool. Everybody ain't going to be your friend. You're going to have to leave some people behind. You're going to have to, and I'm talking about family too. Following God is not easy, but following God is worth it. Because this life is not yours. This world is not your home. You just passing through. And death is on its way. You have no idea what death is. You don't. We make the mistake. The devil allows us to make the mistake of thinking we got time. You don't have time. Ain't no amount of money you got can buy you some time. Look how rich you get. Death is coming for us all. And the Bible lets us know that it is appointed unto man once to die. And after death cometh the judgment. For everybody. No matter what you believe right now. You don't have to believe me right now. Pick up your book and read it. Don't believe nothing I'm telling you. Pick up the book and look at it for yourself and see if you are in good standing with God. If you're not in good standing with God, only you can save yourself. Nobody else can save you. I can't save you. Brother Montgomery can't save you. Can't nobody in this room save you but you. Christ is coming back, and you don't have to believe that. You don't have to believe hell is hot. You don't have to believe in hell. Hell believe in you. And it's waiting. The Bible tells us that hell hath enlarged herself. Why? Because there's a bunch of people going. Don't be in that number. John said, after the 144,000, he looked over and he saw a number that no man could number. And in that number, that's where you want to be. I want to be in that number. Not the one that's going to hell, that's done and lost herself. Don't be swayed by the misgivings and the misfortunes and the misguidance of what's out there in that world. That world don't mean you no good. That world ain't for you. There's a prince and a power of that world that wants to destroy you. God wants to save you. God would not have it that any of you perish. But if you do, you do so choosing to perish. How do I save myself, Brother Ellen? I'm glad somebody asked me. Jesus died on the cross that you might have freedom and liberty to be able to save yourself. Salvation is available today. He died on the cross for you and I. Our Bible says you have to just believe that. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. After you believe it, after you've heard it, the Bible says you must believe it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. And then after you believe it, you got to believe it. You have to repent of your sin. You have to make a 180 degree turn from a sinful life to a life of salvation. This is Luke chapter 13 and verse number 5. Then after that, the Bible says you must confess the sweetest name ever spoken on that mortal tongue, and that being the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. After you've heard, believed, and repented and confessed, the Bible said you must be baptized in a watery grave of baptism. How do I know this? Mark chapter 16 and verse number 16. He who believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He who believeth not shall be dead. That's what the books say. And then after all of that, the Bible says you must give yourself over to a life of serving God. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. You can't get a crown without giving yourself over to God. It would be a shame to walk in this place and leave out the same way you came. God is giving you an opportunity to hear his gospel and save yourself. Otherwise, you just like that man out in the ocean floating. Boat come by, say, I'm here to save you. He said, no, I'm waiting on something else. Man come by in a battleship, say, I'm here to save you. Say, no, I'm waiting on something else. Man come by in a cruise boat. Man say, no, I'm waiting on something else. All of a sudden, the shark swim up. The shark say, hey, what you doing? Man say, I'm waiting to get saved. Shark say, too late. You never know. You never know. This may be the last time that you are ever able to hear a word from God. Amen. Don't let this opportunity pass you by and you go back out in that world with the same sin you came in here with. If you got anything on you that looks like sin, here's your opportunity to repent and get it off you. Don't leave this place the same way you come in. That's not what God's word is intended to do. I'm not up here to entertain you. I'm up here to give you a word that's going to save you. Save yourself. Do it right now as you come and stand and sing the song of invitation.